Brave soldiers of the Empire, we have called and you have answered. Today we stand in front of
you.
The
enemy. Hello. I thought I'd lost you. Well, since I found you, this guy's going to be waffling on for quite some time. Let's continue with the story. With the Lords of Lau.
And welcome back. So, let's talk about Saturday.
Saturday, oh man, this is where the hype really built.
What a day. What a day.
So, I mean, you are jonesing hard for battle.
I woke up with like one thing in mind, and that was just to go and do battle. That was all I wanted to do. We were up and ready and getting all the gear on.
Yeah. Because what time was the battle on the Saturday?
10?
And this is when...
I know, mustering for monsters was 10, but I think the actual battle was 11.
Yeah. So it's pretty early, right? And so we should have said we were monstering first and acting as your players second.
Oh, bear in mind, I drank loads the night before.
Yes.
That didn't faze me at all. I was so ready for it.
Well, I think we both drank to a sensible level, right?
I was pretty drunk.
Yeah, but not like stupidly.
Oh, no, I wasn't falling about the place. But
no, so, and I think like getting ready for monstering, I think having monstering first and being your character second is probably the best combination. I mean, I know I'm saying that as that's been the case twice, but I think I think the idea of playing your player first and monstering second, it would be like if you died on that first thing, then you have to go through the whole thing of playing a different character. Well, I think if that happened to you so late on the Sunday, it wouldn't be so much of a big issue.
I found it's for me, it's just warming up.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of confidence building and going and doing a first battle when you don't need to worry about too much.
And what a battle!
Fuck me, what a battle!
So we all get. Yes. All our stuff together.
Go monstering up.
Yeah,
we kind of grab our stuff. We actually still missed the main Navarre pack, though, when we came out. So we joined like a smaller offshoot from that.
Yes.
You
get sort of your commander given to you from a group of people.
Yeah, and this again, we did the whole where you get black, like, what is that stuff?
It's just like black face paint.
Yeah, I mean, basically you black up your eyes and black up your mouth. It's not like black face or anything.
Yeah, I know what you're saying,
but, you do the few bits in your arms.
Yeah.
Because it was hot, man, so
I was sleeveless. Yeah.
Just in the gimp armor.
Yeah.
And, so then, right, so we get all that stuff ready, go out there, and then basically the battle setup. It's really interesting, right?
It's
a two-stage battle, right? And you don't get to respawn within part of the first or second battle, right? So you only have a few skills that are like, stay with me, which is the one where if you get downed, then someone can pick you up for one HP.
Unstoppable as well.
Oh, did we have unstoppable?
I think so, because you ended up using it massively, remember?
No, I didn't use unstoppable. No. Well, I didn't use it. Other people did.
Oh, right. I think... I thought you said...
Oh, no, I did use it.
You did use it. You had unstoppable.
Oh, fuck, I did use it. Sorry. Yeah. No, sorry. That's dumb. All right, so the setup was, there are three forts. This is the first stage. There are three forts set up, which are made up of these, like, wooden fences, right? But they're, like...
Kind of stage safe, but, you know...
Yeah, they're kind of these individual blocks, right? And they kind of...
Movable terrain perimeters that they can obviously put around and stuff.
So we're in this unit, and the unit is going to be designated to kind of... We're going to leave the fort at some point, and we're going to kind of do hit-and-run attacks Navarre-style.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there and watching the colossal amount of forces. And what were they? They were like... there was Wintermark with their shield wall.
Yeah.
They were back. Then who else was in there?
I think...
Dawn?
Was it Dawn? Yeah,
Dawn were with us, weren't they?
Yeah, you're probably right. Was it maybe the marches and stuff as well?
Yeah, marches, I think, were there.
We probably got all the nations wrong. But anyway, there was a bunch of different nations. That's kind of what is cool about Empire as well. When you're looking across the field and you just see all these different coloured nations.
Yeah, and they're all moving in their own little formations.
And occasionally they merge and things and bleed into each other and people get separated off. And you might end up just the way the line crumbles. You might end up just locked into a different nation, just helping them because you can't get back to your own line.
Mm-hmm.
Or crazy stuff like that can happen. I mean, you should try and stay with your nation, obviously, just because you get like that cohesion there. Right. But like sometimes things evolve.
But okay, so they're walking across. And they basically make this kind of massive line, and they hit the first fort, like, and that goes down pretty quick.
Right? Yeah.
Then they keep marching along, and then the second fort. We're in the third fort at this point.
Third fort, yeah.
So they come down and they start to get to the point where they can start to engage the second fort, and that's when we marched outright in our unit. But it's just us, right? I think there's one other unit to our left, way off to the left.
Yeah.
But basically, it's us, and we're kind of marching around trying to threaten this this, we're on their side and they're kind of carrying into the fort.
And the idea was just like basically give them something to think about so the second fort didn't get overwhelmed.
Yeah, to kind of draw some units away. But not maybe necessary to engage, just to kind of be a threat.
And the interesting thing about this battle as well was because it was fought in two stages. The first stage, you got no respawns. Mm-hmm. So if you died, you just basically had to leave the field and go...
And wait for the second one.
To the second stage. So it was more a case of like a lot of the powers were revolving around this idea that we have a certain sort of attrition rate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were Jotun as well, which was Jotun. We mentioned them in the last one. They're a kind of regimented orc force, yeah. Right? They're like
kind of cool to play.
I got really into the RP on the way the battles are fought. I'm really starting to see this whole. I'm seeing things differently. We were RPing those guys, right? Yeah. Especially what happened next, right? So we start coming out, and we're trying to threaten this force. We're clearly outnumbered.
Yeah.
They start overwhelming the second fort.
Yeah.
Coming on us, and we're like starting to back away, move away, maneuver back. And then what? Then crazy shit happened, right?
So we fall back to the fort, and for a while it just stays kind of quiet there. So we fall back to the second fort. Yeah. And in the distance, you can just see these pole arms, and then you can just see these pole arms and stuff waving up in the air in the second fort. So yeah,
they did a hell of a stand in there. I thought it was done, because it was like watching ants, like, just swarm over something. You were like, there's nothing going
to
survive.
Because bear in mind, when we got pushed back the first time, the idea was supposed to be that we would pull some heat off them. So there was a point where we weren't on that contact line, but they were just taking all the heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did well holding it as long as
it was really impressive.
And it was kind of interesting the way the battle was set up, because each fort was kind of like a roadblock of attrition.
It was great to watch. It reminded me of those old, what's it called, those sharp books. Watching the description of these big Napoleonic wars of columns moving into an area.
And then suddenly the column's coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, so the third
fort. There was no illusion that we were not going to hold. Like, this was, we were already like, we're going to get steamrolled.
It's an Alamo kind of situation.
We've divided our forces. These defences we have aren't, because we had to move ours out even further. Yeah. So they were really wide.
Yeah.
They're not going to do shit. We're going to get fucking murdered. So we start manoeuvring out again.
Yes.
And then we see, because basically over on the left flank where the second fort kind of is, we see this group breaking out of there.
Yeah, some of them managed to sally out and fall back and try and get back to line.
So we start manoeuvring out. We do a kind of a charge, right?
Yeah, we kind of cover their retreat, right?
And then immediately, bam, I catch an arrow directly in the face.
Yes, you just first bit, just took an arrow straight in the
head. Didn't see it coming, had no idea, caught it square in the mooey. And for a second, I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I had no idea what happened. And so then I looked down and there was the arrow. And I was like, oh shit, I just went straight down. And so someone actually said, I'll just go straight down.
So, and then the guy behind you is me. Yeah. So like, literally I grab you and I'm like, you're not done yet. You know,
yeah, stay with me.
And then I just chucked you up and then just threw you behind me and went forward. It was so cool.
So everyone charges.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm trying to tag on behind.
Yeah.
But then there's this, we're basically charged across the front line of the enemy at that stage, we're running parallel along the front of them. And they oblige us by starting to move forward into that line. Crazy shit, right?
We just got smashed.
What happened to you at that stage?
So at that stage, bear in mind, it turned so quickly from us actually dealing some casualties to them to just getting obliterated on the side, or just getting pushed. We got wheeled all the way around like a hand on a clock being turned by an impatient finger around the fucking the camp. We just get rolled. You managed to slip, I think, inside the fort at that point.
So what happened to me was, okay, this is oh so reminiscent of the first episode.
Yeah.
My knee started to go again.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've literally never had any issues with my knees ever in the past. It's never been an issue. I do yoga for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's like I swim quite regularly.
Yeah, you're a fit guy, dude.
I'm getting better, right?
You're getting better, yeah.
Never had any problems with my knees.
Yeah.
Twice in a row,
yeah.
I twist my knee or do something weird. So one of the guys, I'm going to give a little shout out to Jeffrey Willoughby, who was the first person to ever reply to anything that we've done to the podcast.
Comment, I think.
And his recommendation was, it was a really nice comment, but to get one of these knee braces or something to kind of support the knee. And I thought that was a really sweet thing and completely ignored his advice.
Yeah.
Go to my first battle. What happens? My knee starts fucking out again. So yeah. I'm... Oh, man. The shame. Deep apologies, sir. I'm going to order one immediately. Yeah. And hopefully
cool. It won't be people an issue just again. Are really good, right? Helping with that kind of information. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone cares, right?
Yeah, watch your knees, people. Watch your knees. It can happen to anyone.
And I think the thing is, because the ground is kind of constantly kind of a bit unstable, right? Because it's not like you're running on a mat.
How often do I run in boots across fields and through forests? Yeah. I don't do that very often. My body was just like, what the
it's hell are you doing? It's a different type of activity.
Yeah. Yoga and swimming is not impact on my legs at all.
It does not
prepare
you for it.
Right, yeah. So basically what happened was, this started to move off, this line, and I was just like, oh man, that's when it started to feel a bit funky, because we did that run, right? It was a run. I was running when I got hit by the arrow, by the way.
Yeah.
So I basically was like, fuck. So I saw everyone charging in on me, and I was like, well, the distance between me and the enemy forces is getting shorter and shorter, and I looked back at the fort, and I was like, I need to get back in the fort.
Yeah.
So I ran back, and basically just kind of like joined the ranks inside the fort.
And then the door closed. We couldn't get in. Basically, we just got pushed back. And then, like, a few people managed to slip inside the fort. The rest of us thought we could hold it and then push them back and crush them between the fort and you.
Mm-hmm.
But we pushed and we were just immediately repelled.
It was horrendous. That was a winter mark shield wall that moved around on the edge. Because that was
so
the first
good.
Thing that to attack the left flank of
it
the fort.
It just destroyed us. And we just got pushed away from the fort. I could just see it vanishing like a tide drawing me out,
mm-hmm.
so I could no longer see the shore.
Mm-hmm.
And it got down to like me and like three guys just, and everyone shouting, I said, like, give up, you know, you fought well, throw your weapons down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, you're taking me, Empire. And I just go out singing. And then I give this whole like speech about how that, you know, they're shit, they're not gonna take me. And then I just feel this prodding in my chest. And I look over to my side, and this guy's just there with a spear, just poking me, completely po-faced. And I'm just like, oh yeah. And everybody laughs, I laugh, because it's such a ridiculous thing. Like, giving it all that, like, talked myself up like I was fucking business and they should not mess.
You didn't have time to bleed, Ian. I think
I was like, I just went, ugh.
But you definitely didn't have time to duck, so.
My death groan turned into a laugh along with all of their laughs
That's
halfway
hilarious.
Down. It was that ridiculous.
Man, the combat's, there were some good laughs in combat, right? Yeah. Right, so yeah, then. So I watch you guys just get destroyed.
Yeah, so I'll just say before we get...
Yeah,
so then after that, when you die, you basically have to go to this other bit. And bear in mind, most of that is that's most the force at this point, right? Has now gone to the forest because we've all died in the first stage. So we're just waiting there. Huge blocks of people, right? Everybody else who's died previously is there. And we're just waiting there and waiting there and waiting there. We can hear this distant battle. It's pretty loud and it gets quieter. And quieter, but it keeps going for a very, very long time.
It was so
and what
awesome.
Happened?
It was so awesome. So I'm in this fort, and everyone's got this. It's fucking Zulu.
Mm.
None of us had any.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've got
it,
in my head.
It was like we weren't. None of us thought we were going to make it out, but there was this because we were the Jotun. I feel like there was this RP of just, you know, stay fucking cool, man the lines, do your job, do your best, right? And it was at this point, I managed to find I think there was a physic, or I might have remembered to do the thing at that point.
Yeah.
I can't remember, it's all a bit vague. But we're all manning the walls, which aren't really that helpful, but they are there.
Yeah.
They
just basically means you don't need people on that bit of the line, right?
Exactly. So this Wintermark shield wall comes around on the left flank and starts hitting the left-hand side of the fort. And then we basically get surrounded in this giant... It's a semicircle, this fort, by the way. It's not like a large thing. It's like a semicircle on the edge of the map.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere to go, right? There's nowhere to run to.
Yeah.
There's no... This is where we die, you know? Right here. There's no surrender. There's just us holding out as long as we can against this overwhelming... heavily armed force, and they came in and we're basically just this is the first time I get to use my sword, right? So I'm like getting to grips with it and I'm loving it. I'm having the best time. Like, it's just online, and I'm trying to get the guys next to me G'd up and like concentrating and like giving, like, just talking to people and getting this solid movement on. And we just held and it was just so bang. I went down, and then there was the help me up thing. But what was really interesting was because there was no like respawns or anything.
Yeah.
There was this, because of the skill selection that PD had given us, it gave us this attrition warfare, just everyone can help so each other well out. And just, right? But we, at that stage, immediately, as soon as we got encircled, there was no more medical stuff. There was definitely no way I could get healed anymore.
Yeah.
So
there's just these skills.
Yeah.
And that's all you've got. And they're going to run out.
Eventually, everyone's going to run out of hero points, right? Yeah. They broke through on the left flank, right? This big shield wall. And they're inside the fort, right?
Oh, jeez.
And then, so it starts to bug out. You know, it's not a proper wall anymore. And then everything starts to shift back, right? Until we're just getting more and more compressed, right? So you're fighting literally shoulder to shoulder. The guy right on your back. And the guys, the enemy is right in front of you. But we're just battling and like... Oh, Ian taught me a really good technique, by the way, which I'm sure will look ridiculous if loads of people do it. But... I get my shield and I hold it out in front of me and I wiggle it around, okay? And I wiggle it in front of the enemy. And the enemy, sometimes, if they're new players, will hit, they'll just try and hit my shield because it's a moving thing like a cat with a ball.
The more experienced
players don't give a fuck about me wobbling my shield around, Ian.
Yeah.
They are not impressed. They look at me like I am a moron. But then there's a guy next to them like, prodding it, you know.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's interesting. There's a few little things, and often what will happen in a battle is you'll kind of be fighting someone, and then you've got a certain sort of move set, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got a couple of moves you have.
I have a very short. I could write it on a napkin. My skills, you know?
And the other guy probably only has a very sort of small number of viable skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the constantly so interesting thing about combat. You're suddenly thrown against some guy with this weapon and that defense. And then a totally different weapon. You know, maybe he's got two swords. That's very different from fighting a guy with a spear and a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, all these different things. And all of a sudden it's like how my skill set against that is very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like then after a couple of hits, he's probably learned all of my stuff. I've probably learned all of his stuff.
I feel like that we had a fair amount of... But it was such a diverse mix of like weapons inside the fray, you know?
Yeah.
But slowly we're getting inched in. We lose our wall. We're getting more and more compact to the point where the referees actually have to say, stop. Oh, this happened a bunch, by the way, with people getting injured or something happened. Sure. We kept having to stop. And that was, but it was good though, because it gave you a chance just to, because it was full on.
Yeah.
Right? It was really intense.
Must have been. I think that's probably the most intense thing that probably any of us have had in terms of just combat experience,
because bear in mind, I'm like, I like to win, right? Like, so I was like, let's you know what I mean? Let's take every single one of them down as we can. And they're coming in. And then, again, get pause, push back. This time round, though, we've taken so many casualties that we can't make the dome that the referees are allowing us to move out to, right? So we're really weak on this right flank. And I'm yelling at people, we need some bodies on the right. And no one's moving. And one of the referees just goes, you're going to have to go get them. And I was just like, okay. And I was just like, ran over and just grabbing people and just being like, over there on the right.
So good, right?
But then that was like, that whole side started to crumble up and I was trying to fight and it was just, they just, it was, it was over. I think your
abilities had gone, right?
It was over, yeah. It was over. I had one hit point for so long.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, trying to, that was the chair, by the way. Yeah. Just want to say that was the chair.
But like, so, I think, but the important thing was, right, so this went on for ages. So from my perspective, it was half an hour at least. It probably was longer. That's how it felt anyway.
When I got downed, I walked away and I was like, damn it. Like, I was kind of, and then someone was like, man, I heard someone say that was one hell of a hold or something like that. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I guess it was, right? Like, I didn't stop and smell the roses of the achievement we had by
it felt like a defeat in the moment, but
sounds, by the way, for this whole battle that we're being really cocky, please revert to our first monstering battle where we got just knocked around the field for a very long destroyed. Time. Yeah, so, and really, like, hats off to the adversaries and all of that. Hats off to everyone, all the people that were involved.
All the time. And it's so good. So what good. I love about it is that people commit to monstering.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like, it's not just, like, role play, like it's a sport as well.
I was definitely role playing the monsters that we were assigned to.
Yeah.
And I think the battle on Sunday was a wonderful example.
The narrative of the battle was fantastic.
Yeah.
And like, so you guys.
Oh, sorry.
You guys kind of come through. And it's been ages. Mm-hmm. And but what I think had actually happened and why what you did was so important was it just dissolved so many of their resources. I heard so many stories that of physics not having any more healing left for when they went into the forest.
I also think people were just battling for a long time. Yeah. Like it was just a we were
you had so long.
I have no concept of time, but it took the whole thing took hours, right? Like many hours. So part two.
Yeah.
Right, so I wasn't with you. I'll just tell you where I got set up, right? Yeah. So I headed out, and obviously I'm one of the few that are coming out.
Yeah.
So I start making my way through the woods, and we're all kind of lackadaisical about it, but I can see like the main forces starting mm-hmm. to muster and coming mm-hmm. through the gate. That there's a little gateway to get through to the second area of like woodland area, you know, which is a lot more kind of dense brush, I would describe it as, and there's like some down trees and stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of really interesting terrain, actually.
Pathways.
Yeah, like natural pathways and man-made pathways. Really cool.
So I basically ran up and basically just found there was a line and we'd made like a square formation at the end of a path. And right. I just assumed this is as good a place as any. I tried to spot people that everyone's wearing masks. I feel like that's one of the reasons why I got split up so easily was I had no fucking clue who anyone was.
And that's good though, right? And I think it made you do the right things. You followed into the right positions.
Hey, it was I absolutely loved it. And I'll probably bang on like a whatever, but it's, I had such a good time, you know? Yeah. Anyway, okay, so.
So from my side, we'll go through mine first. It's probably less interesting, but the obviously, I died with the main body of our sort of group of troops. And as nations, you kind of get assigned roles within the monster group that you're playing. So we're a particular type of Jotun called the Ulfenwar, and that's what Navarre are playing. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get, even within monstering, you're kind of packed up with your kind of nation.
Oh, so there was like an Ulfenwar. That was what the...
That's kind of was the Navarre at monstering were the Ulfenwar.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'd obviously died with the main body of our troops, unlike Dave. And therefore, I was still with the Ulfenwar. So we were still doing that skirmishing tactics on the edge of the battle, which took place in the woods, as you said. And a lot of that was just essentially just occupying people.
What
and from our perspective...
What was the terrain there? Were the enemy...
Heavily wooded
Were the troops moving in lines towards you?
Yeah, so they were just... Bear in mind, we were essentially at the very opposite side from where you guys were. Our perspective, all we were really doing was just keeping forces busy. And maybe that was useful in retrospect. But essentially, all we were doing was... blocking the path between them and the gate out.
Mm.
Right? And then it suddenly came to a point where, and I'd thought it's because we had lost and they'd achieved their objective. Bear in mind, I didn't know we'd done well, and mm-hmm. it turns out the monsters did very well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that what had happened was they'd achieved their objective and now they were pushing for the gate and we were the straggling little force guarding the gate and therefore we get blown away. Mm-hmm. And essentially we just end up just
cheesing it.
Just essentially being pushed to the side of their formation as they leave for the gate. What in reality is happening, they're retreating to the gate because they've been
routed.
And essentially we just sort of see them and kind of wave them off and they were sort of, you know, shouting shit at us and it's great. And then we just watch them leave.
I still don't really understand. Like, I can draw you these sections of what we know about what happened in the battle. I couldn't tell you decisively what we...
What we're telling you might even be wrong.
Yeah. Well, no. Okay, so from my point of view,
yeah,
we're all in these... fairly good lines, and I think most of the troops that were there were the troops that held out for so long in the gate. So we were, I mean,
a good team.
I felt pretty confident as part of that team. And then there's just this column. It's literally a column walking through this pathway up through the forest, right? Yeah. And it's all the shields, shiny. They must have been Dawn or something, whoever they were, the big shiny people, full of like plate armor with swords and shields.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, the goodies are gonna win, but we'll give them what for before we fall, because there aren't that many of us.
Yeah.
And there's this big column, so the left flank that I'm on charges in. If they'd wait a little bit longer, we could hit them on the side because it's just coming out of the column.
Yeah.
But either way. They hit them, we run over, we hit the front of the column. And then we're fighting. But it's really indistinguishable how to tell this, because I only realised we were winning after it was so obvious we were winning.
Yeah.
Right? Like
Lines crumble so quickly.
I was like, oh, I'm really battling, like, or trying to get involved. I didn't always sit on the front line. I was kind of like trying to get involved because there wasn't much room to fight. I didn't want to harass people who were fighting that I wanted to fight. But we started, and then slowly, like... couple of people died and we're pushing this army back, and then we're pushing it back,
yeah,
right? And that I'm like, what the hell's going on? There's a few dead bodies coming, like people lying on the ground.
Yeah, you're
like,
walking over the top.
That's a character.
Yeah.
That's a person. That's a person that might have been alive for years, or maybe it's only been one session, but they really like their character.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm stepping over him, and we're gonna keep on marching forward. And it was a very odd feeling for me. I felt it's a mixture. Anyway, we just carry on doing this. It gets to the point where there's like, I remember we walked past like four or five fully plated. They looked awesome. I don't know which version they were, but they looked the business. Lying on the ground, just next to me. We're moving past them. I was like, fuck me, what the hell happened to these guys? You know?
Like, turns out you happened to them.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah. And then I still have mixed feelings about what happened.
Okay. So I'll play from, you said that after the carnage.
No, the battle's still going on.
Right.
But it's got to the point where we're soundly winning.
Yeah.
And it's more like we keep getting stopped by the referees for some, I don't know why we kept getting stopped, but it could have been really bad if we'd charged into them. Yeah. It could have been really bad because there was a lot of confusion in their lines, and yeah. I don't think they expected to get like.
I think they're pretty hot on crowd control, and that's really,
really
good.
I always felt the
referees are really good. Yeah, you always feel safe
even in that scrum in the fort. I never had a moment where I was like, oh god, this is going to turn south. Like sometimes you do it like a metal gig or something where it's like really hectic. I never had that moment. Everyone was always.
Even when you got shot on the head by an arrow and fell down, people are running over you.
Dude, it didn't hurt at all, by the way.
Yeah, and we were just able to get you up and get you out of the action for the few seconds you need to regroup yourself. And then if you want to be in, you can be in. And if you want to pull out, that's all cool too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different things you can do in combat. And all you got to do is put your hand up and you're out. You know what I mean? And everybody respects that.
Pretty safe.
And when there's like an injury call, like a man down call, everyone just reacts so quick.
It's great as well. There's also that group thing. Like, even if you don't feel like you're confident in knowing what is about to, like, what does a man down look like? Or when do I know when to stop? Yeah. You'll know that it's really obvious. There's this group thing where everyone just stops doing what they're doing. And then you're like, what's going on? Oh, that's why. You know, even if you don't see the call. All right. So I look back. And there's just, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. So there's a guy carrying another guy. Yeah. One guy's got like a big, I think it's like a club or like a double-headed axe, and the other guy's like got a sword or something, and it's club. Anyway, they're walking along, they're walking towards me, and I'm like, where the fuck do you think you're going, right?
And you say this to them, right?
Yeah, I'm the one who draws attention to them, right? Yeah. No one else is, like, everyone's kind of milling around and not really noticing. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I start walking over them. Someone else comes over as well. And we start going, what? And I'm like, listen, lads. You've had a good run. All right? Just
give it in.
Look over there. there's meters of our forces to even get to your forces, right? Like,
you're not going
to
walk through it.
Just give it up. Yeah. Just give it up. And they constantly look like they're about to go out in a blaze of glory. And I'm constantly saying to them, lads, it's not worth it. You guys get to walk away from this. Do you know what I mean? Like, you guys get to live, right? It's a great thing you've done here, you know, whatever.
You get the guy
stops and he puts his mate down, his mate lies down, and he starts getting down on the ground as well, and I take his weapon away. When some other orcs, some bigger orcs here, and they come over and they say, what the fuck's going on here then? I'm like, oh, and they're like, orders are no prisoners, stop fucking about. And this guy just walks up and just stabs him, just slices him up.
The guy on the ground, right? Yeah. Just stabs the guy.
The guy who surrendered and his mate. There was no honor for their deaths here.
And there was another guy, a third guy, right?
No, it's just two of them.
Just the two of them, right?
Just the two of them, and I can't help. And you're taking the weapon off him. Just
so good. He didn't even have the means to defend himself at the end.
It feels weird. I feel bad for those guys, but it was an amazing moment.
Amazing.
And it was so like war crimesy. Like it wasn't even a big deal. Like they're literally now get back to the front lines.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, what are you doing here now? This is, it's over. Anyway, so we carried on pushing the...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And then we carried on pushing these forces back. And eventually, they just buggered off. And it was amazing, wasn't it?
And like, so from my perspective, I honestly thought we'd lost. And then afterwards, you're telling me, no, man, I think we kicked their ass.
Like,
I was like,
it was brutal.
Yeah, like, I was like, well, it didn't feel like we kicked their ass, but I'll take your word for it. And I heard all kinds of figures getting bandied around.
So they varied hugely.
It could have been anywhere between like 20 to even like 50 odd guys. At the high number. I think that can't be true. But like, I heard 36 characters died, which is a lot, by the way. You gotta think, that's a big loss, and like a lot of winter markers. I think like 21 winter markers, maybe, or something.
21,
man. It's just like, wow. Just, you did a fantastic job monstering, man.
Well, it was. I don't know. It felt like. Monsters do win, from what I understand. It was weird to be on a winning monster team, right? Because it was, obviously, I was really happy because I was jonesing for some action, right? And then to get some action and it to be so
fun. How did you actually feel about your combat as you? How do you think you did?
I did more learning, but I felt way better.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I was...
A lot of that's the weapon, right? And the confidence.
I had this cool fit, like, so I got this sword and it's got a pommel on it, right? Yeah. Which is the bit where you hold it. And I had my hand at the top of the pommel near where the blade is.
Okay? Yeah, the top of the
so head, I'm sword. Fighting yeah. like this, and then ever so often I'll put it behind my shield and just shift it up.
Yeah.
Right?
So I shift up,
so it pushes it all the way to the end of my hand, so I'm further away from the blade. So effectively giving me an extra like 2 inches,
yeah.
right? Or whatever. And then I, bam, same attack again. But it's a different length, and I could get some hits with that.
Yeah,
I was so fucking pleased to find that out, and I was so pleased with myself to figure out that I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the wiggly shield thing, very effective. Still
just turning
not really
your body
sure.
is an important one.
Still need to work on generally shield work and what I should be doing with it. I've got a long way to go, but still.
Effective. Those kind of combats where you've got like essentially 3 to 4 different weapons threatening you at any particular time, and some of them might like to be mild threats, but things can change so quickly. You lunge in for an attack and you get hit, and then you get hit. Sorry, you hit the guy you were aiming for, mm-hmm. and then you get hit by 3 weapons. Well, there's no good there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
do you know what we should? Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So
battle was great.
Battle was great. Absolutely buzzing off, coming off the back of it. We came home.
Yeah.
And then I've had a nap.
Yeah, we literally
little
had a
nap.
And literally just camped in the
okay,
tent.
Okay, so there's a thing that I definitely get, and I'm sure other players get this too, which is I am really, really hyped for battles, and my adrenaline
just dumps.
Just
afterwards.
It's afterwards. Yeah. I'm like just it just dumps, right? And we didn't bring enough snacks. Basically,
no. Next time
chocolate
snacks.
Bars.
Yeah, just little things.
I mean, chocolate bars and energy drinks. Is
I think
what
last time we
time.
Had a lot of jerky. We also had all the little packs. That I made.
I feel like you need the sugar though, just for the. And I am the most anti-sugar guy ever, but just for
a couple of bits, right? A couple of treats after a hard day's work is not.
I mean, we got our exercise in, let's put it that way. That's
we brought
good.
Like a cool box with some ice in and put all the beers
another
and stuff
tip.
In there.
Coolers with ice.
Yeah.
Oh my god, cold beer throughout.
Yeah,
was
it was fantastic. It kept cool really well, actually. That was a really good cooler. It was like one of those plastic ones, not one of the fabric ones that you can get.
Yeah, you can thank Phil in my office for
that. It was fantastic.
He hooked me up. I should probably get him something for it.
So we did a little bit of drinking after we woke up, and I think that the nap was much needed. It was nice.
I don't regret the nap at all.
No, not at all.
Right, should we talk about when we went to the Brass Coast?
Yeah, so... Well, you lead into that, I guess.
Okay. We went for a walk. The idea was that we were going to walk around and kind of just... Because we're all much more interested in like looking at other nations. I think we did a tour before, but with less understanding of who they were. And now we wanted to just really get a good old nosy on what other nations are like and how they behave.
Mm-hmm.
So we walked around a whole bunch of different ones. Like the marches had a really good like fair on.
That was awesome.
That was really good fun. Really enjoyed
really
that.
Really awesome.
They had... a stockade where
sponge
a senator or a winter marker, and it was to raise money for something. And there were some people playing instruments in the background. And I said to you, like, out of character, like, isn't it cool that it's just like those people playing there and it just adds to the whole scene?
Yeah.
And you're like, there's people playing over there, because it was so
immersive.
Yeah, it was like you didn't even register that this like there's
it was
a
almost
soundtrack
like a sound yeah soundtrack in a video game, and I was the character
sitting
there
amazing.
Watching the guy
and
the Senate get his sponge.
There was a guy doing fortunes.
Yeah,
I wanted to do it, but
it's
he
a bit
pricey,
wasn't it?
He wanted to charge to watch, and I was like, man, I want to spend 5 rings on this. I don't want to spend 10.
I think
we
meant to come back, but we just got distracted by other stuff because we were going to sort of step out and not listen and then go in and spend.
There's a lot going on, right?
I mean, when you're a new player, you've got a limited amount of money, right? Like, I think when you've got buku money, you can just be like, yeah, sure, I'll stay and listen.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why not? It'd be just a great time.
And then we walked over to what's it called? The
League, is that?
Is it the League?
Yeah, with the player you're talking about.
I am talking about the player.
Okay, so we walk into the League. This is really fucking awesome, by the way. It's just like the fact that people will role play things and take risks with their role play.
Ian, tell the story first.
So we walk up and we're just kind of walking around. We pop to the pub, we get a really nice drink.
Mm-hmm. Chat some folk in there.
Chat some folk, really great time. Walk out and we kind of are moving on to the next pub. And there's this play going on. We sort of walk up to it and listen to it. And the first few lines, it's literally an open air play and you can just walk up like freely, by the way.
It looked like a sitcom, right? There was a few guys doing it and they were just kind of like doing these little quips and little theatrical lines.
It's literally a live air show that you can just walk up to.
Yeah.
And people are acting it out. And they've obviously put work into putting all these lines together, OC and everything.
We had a chuckle at a couple of the jokes.
And that was the crazy thing. So you have a chuckle at the first few jokes. And then all of a sudden...
Oh my God.
Like something from Breakfast at Tiffany's or something.
Oh my God.
This orc character... Or this guy who's basically...
It's like
orc
head.
Faced.
It's an orc head.
He literally is just like...
Oh my God,
a
it was a
orc.
Dead orc.
Was it? It couldn't have been. I can't even remember. I thought it was a player
Maybe.
Dressed up as a
That's
orc.
How rumors get started, Ian.
But like, anyway, leans around and starts giving all of these kind of like, oh, I'm an orc and I can't read and all this kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
look
like,
at me, I'm so stupid.
Literally like this kind of... just. Blatant racism.
And then the guy was all like, oh, look at him, he's pretending he can read.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh my God, just like, all of a sudden there's that just immediate racism. We were just like, and it was just so, brash and open.
It was that moment in, what's it called?
Bioshock Infinite.
Bioshock Infinite, where you go through this wonderful opening bit and it's one of the best intros
beautiful
ever. And it's really utopian. And then you come through to this stage and then it's like, there's this really racist shit happens.
Yeah.
And that's how me and you felt about it, right?
Yeah, and it was just, But like, OC, that is amazing, right? That that they're willing to do that and make that.
It was awesome.
And it was just the fact that like, people laughed. Like, and it's like, oh my God, like, it was just so good. But it's so good.
We were
icy.
We just like
immediately looked at each other.
Yeah, like, and we were just. It was almost like the laugh. I wish I could have taken my laugh back for the other jokes because how disgusted I was at these. The tonal shift. In our what we felt towards them was like absolute,
and we just immediately like, we're not going to the second bar, and we just left.
Yeah,
we
just
left the nation.
Yeah, we left. Yeah.
But it's just like what's kind of cool about it is like that might not be representative at all, that experience, or like that is maybe just something where
I think there's supposed to be more racism talks than there is. I think
maybe.
One of the things is that I think like.
Bear in mind, they're not
most
human,
people,
right?
Because they're all people that go LARPing and sort of people that are like, hey, can we just get along? And like, I respect your thing whatever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in the actual world of Empire, these were slaves like 10 years ago, right? Like, look at the Deep South in America and how horrendous some of those states and the citizen there treated their back like segregation till the fucking it's ridiculous anyway
but people will role play that out is really cool and really brave
it was cool
and I really appreciate it and it actually adds so much character to Empire when we sort of experienced it and were able to walk away from it. That was fantastic.
Should we talk about Songs of Storytime?
So I think we'll probably horribly bastardized Songs and Storytime into just probably one long bit because I think like we'll end up merging both the nights.
My memory I can't really separate Friday and Saturday when we kind of went, and there were different times, right?
Exactly. So
okay, first thing, no benches anymore.
No, there were a few actually, like, because they'd obviously done that.
No,
rally
I think this is people that are bringing
stuff.
Them along,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's no
but
more.
Most people were either sitting or bringing their own stuff, which weirdly helped us out because
we
bought our own stuff
our
to
own
sit
chairs.
On and we kind of like, you know,
literally just
down.
Rocked up and we were kind of right behind the musicians. Or this is how I remember us. I don't know if we were like that both
times. We were,
times.
No, it was the second night. That was the Saturday night.
But anyway, so we rocked up behind the musicians or wherever, and we're watching these performances and these performances are just phenomenal. Again, phenomenal. It's so good. Like, for example, there was this bit where this guy steps up and he tells this story about this orc called Kalane. And he talks about how his name is Kalane or whatever, and he's basically giving you this legend about this guy. And when he first starts, I've got to be honest with you, I thought, oh no, it's a spoken word thing. I'm not really
gonna,
in the mood for it.
He's going to take a while telling this one, and it's going to be, you know.
But he told a story that had a full-on intro. Like, the story, it was 10 minutes in, or it felt like that, but in a good way. and the story hadn't even begun. That was the backstory.
Yeah, it was like setting up the stage for the the first time. So the orcs, when they reach the afterlife, there's like a chasm.
But they have to jump across.
They have to jump across it to reach like the afterlife.
And this is like the first time an orc gets over that chasm.
Clayne is the first one to get across. And basically, the way he did that was by being triple hard and having a spear
a ridiculously epic story.
Him. I think
he speared himself.
He speared himself to make it look like he was still standing despite him going to die, so the enemy wouldn't approach.
They shot him with arrows for 3 days because they were so scared of him. Because
he's that fucking hard. And then in the afterlife, he whips the spear out of his own body, runs across it, and then uses the spear to cling into the mountain on the other side or whatever.
So he can climb up. It's so good.
Holy shit.
The guy delivered the story so well.
He has this wonderful thing where his timing is... He's got this... it's really hard to describe because I don't know anything about this world, but he had a rhythm to him, and then when he changed from that cadence, it was all deliberate and just wonderfully told. It was
beautiful tonal shifts, all kinds of stuff. It was phenomenal, just
wonderful, and getting the audience involved as well. Yeah, like, Jesus, what a masterclass on how that sort of thing should be done.
Yeah, there was this whole thing about how the orcs will tell you they don't dance, but we're Navarre, we know that everybody dances. Yeah, and then
everyone says, everyone knows, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And it's just like he involved the crowd in that, but then sometimes he'd even subvert that line with variations.
Towards the end, he hammered on not repeating the line, which was like this wonderful like meta to the whole story where it became more serious, good. Right? Because it was becoming more tragic.
It's great. It was phenomenal.
The pirates doing their thing.
That was phenomenal. The drunken dance thing, and they're kind of... At the end, they're kind of crawling along. They've got their mugs out on the floor. And people are like, pay them money. You know, dude, people are like, get them off the floor.
The pirates all weekend were fantastic value. Brilliant. In fact, I feel like I should come back as a pirate next time.
I could, maybe if Anne goes and does a bit of piracy, it might be fun.
Maybe.
A little bit of high seamanship.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be quite good fun.
Well, let's see if
who knows, who knows. But that was great. Like, there's so many good performances. And just both spoken word and song. It felt like... This time, maybe the songs were a bit more serious, but that was in a good way.
Yep.
And all the performances were amazing. Like, and we should say we popped over to some other nations as well with regards to entertainment stuff. We saw some performances in Wintermark, and they were really cool too.
Oh, yeah. The only problem with them was that they were right outside the front of the bar.
Yeah, so that's a shame.
You had people like leaving the bar and having a conversation, and I'm not blaming them for this. No. You're leaving a bar and having a conversation. You walk out to...
Immediately in the circle.
Someone singing a wonderfully delicate, wonderful song. And you're like... Oh, it's a bit of a shame. But Wintermark got game, man. Some of the performances were really
nice. Well, you've got to bear in mind the people who come to Songs and Storytimes. I think what I'm really trying to say is I think that's the best arena in Empire for Songs and Stories.
What I like is other nations come to Songs and Storytimes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you get all these great performers from all these other nations. Yeah. It's literally like a bardic troupe of just like... So good. Like, there's people who walk up and they're from other nations and the voice of the nation... will recognize them and be like, wow, you're here to perform. Let's do this.
I've had a few drinks, but I really committed to being part of it this time around.
This time around, I was singing along and you cheer at certain points and you'll shout things out in a good way. You know, it's just cool.
Really enjoyed it,
So I think this is a this will upset the timeline a bit, but a memory of mine that I really loved from Songs and Storytime was that I went away and I came back and it was right at the very end of Songs and Storytime. And there's just this group of people around the fireball that we have in the middle with their swords drawn, sort of thrusting them in the air at the call of all these different things.
That was the dance that I did
end. And that's literally what I was going to say. And then I spotted you in that crowd
with
the sword. And I was standing on the outside and I was so proud. As an Ashbourne, I was so proud.
They were like, everyone got a weapon and you can come along. And I was just like, it was my axe, actually.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I have a weapon, so I can do this. And I just
leapt into the circle.
Jumped into it and did some... singing and walking around. It was a bit like tribal.
It was gloriously tribal.
I got so into it.
Yeah.
Like,
you looked into it. I couldn't get your eye contact. I was going to look at you to give you like a fucking
fist
bump.
I was literally doing it just for me almost.
Yeah. It was great.
It was,
and you're right up there against the flame ball in the middle.
I loved it. It was great. I was looking at my blade, like, thinking about
the stories it can tell.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. Like, I really, I know that sounds like I went God, if I have a future in politics, that would be the bit that would be cut out and like use his evidence against me. But no, I really enjoyed it. It was
all of these things, and what's so strong about songs and story time and things like that in other nations is the way that it brings a nation together. It reinforces that identity, that sort of really lovely unity, and that feeling of what LARP is at its best.
Which I just want to quickly nip back and talk about. This is one of the whole thing I want to talk about, which is the place in the center of the area, the food place.
Place is amazing.
We didn't go to that place. We always went down to the vendors, and there's this is terrible that we can't remember the name. There'll be people spitting blood, but there's like a canteen area in the middle, and they do like different meals, and they also have like burgers. You can get burgers all the time there, right? And there's always a queue, and the women that work there,
amazing.
Holy shit, they're awesome. Right. I watched this woman.
Their customer service game is ridiculous. Jesus,
she makes everyone feel like a special little camper.
And you have all these different personality types. Just so many people, constant flow of people.
She's amazing.
And she just was just blasting through these orders, engaging with everybody. Yeah, it was amazing.
So you order, right? You could order one of the specials that they have or whatever, or a burger. Me and Ian ate a lot of burgers while we were there. But while you order, you have a nice time talking to them, but then you go and wait, right?
Yeah.
But the entertainment is watching, it's like all the different people in the queue, there's RP going on, the whole bar is kind
people of... People are getting ready to eat. I see.
It's so awesome. I love that place so much. I'm always up for a burger, basically, in future, because just going down there and just hanging out and the atmosphere in there, please go down there, spend money there, and just enjoy the ambiance of such a wonderful place. That was one of the most alive in character places I've been
to. It was so good. And it was because, like, inside battle it's easy to RP, right? You're in it, but out of side of battle it's a bit harder to actually get RPM going, right?
There's like bars are like focal points,
and so they really draw you together, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certain points when someone's going to be role playing hard personally directly at you, right? And then you can instantly meet that, and that's role play. But the passive role-playing experience of just walking around really comes into its own when you enter a bar or an environment that's alive. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're just role-playing, learning, saying what you know. Because it's quite interesting now to know a few things occasionally. I heard this, I know this.
We had a conversation with some people in the marches where they were getting quite critical of the Empress.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
We didn't like say don't speak bad about it, but we made our feelings clear that it's not okay to necessarily talk to us about the Empress not being okay, right? It was interesting, right? That was kind of
But also I think because the relationship with the Empress and the Vaar was kind of weird, we also all felt that we could talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like there is a natural, like there is a feeling, there is a bit of a tension between certain nations and the Imperatrix. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's kind of like, I think that's interesting. Well, the fact that we're able to explore it.
The rich guy that got murdered was wearing the Empress's armor.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a thing about, was it just a mistaken identity thing?
Wow. There's so much crazy stuff that you don't know. All of
this is word of mouth stuff as
well.
All
of it's word of mouth and completely unreliable.
I could be fake newsing the hell out of this right now.
Oh man, imagine. But like,
it was all my plan. Yeah. We'll make a podcast.
This whole thing was like a fake news platform.
Fake news the hell out of Empire until everyone goes mad.
Nah, but it's great. It's just like the fact is that you just say what you know, right? And it's just so much crazy stuff happens.
Okay, rain. I wrote rain on a piece of paper.
So yeah, I mean, it did start raining. Rain then. And actually, in the battle and stuff, that was kind of cool. We got this atmosphere of the rain.
I think me and you after E1 are so like, oh, is this all the rain?
This is nothing, right?
Whatever.
This is
nothing.
This is character building. Jesus. Rain.
Yeah, exactly. This is just, I mean,
this is
really,
RP rain.
Yeah,
right
this
here.
Is RP rain. This isn't.
And it was cool. And the tent, because we had the awning as well. I think that meant that it was really cool because we could actually go back to the awning, sit down. And just, it doesn't matter if it's just a little diddle of rain outside, you know. And then just being able to kind of move in and out of the tent, into under the awning, have the chairs there. You're not kind of hopping around in your fucking underpants inside the tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a lot cooler just to be able to do that, just from a comfort level.
Yeah.
Stand now, soldiers of the Empire! Draw your swords and steady your nerve!
Seems like it's always go time. Let me hear your battle cry.
We are now
I don't know what I'm
expecting.
Right. Bring it to
the
Let's go. Charge!